Open with me to John chapter 6. Lord, we ask that you would bless this time, special, anoint it, speak to our hearts, encourage us in truth, and help us to understand what we're a part of more and more. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 6, and I'll read verse 35 through 40. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. How about that? He who believes in me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He's talking about here in time, right? He's talking about our experience here, our life on earth, that we will never hunger. We will never thirst because we are eating and drinking from Him, of Him. But then also beyond that, into eternity and into our life beyond this life with God, we will never hunger and we will never thirst. What a hope we have. We have a hope in our salvation, and that is heaven. That when we believe in Him, we are eternally secure. And we are kept by the power of God. Never hunger, never thirst. Have you ever been somewhere and you've gotten in trouble and you say, I will never do that again. I will never, never will I do that again. And then there you are in the same situation. You say, oh boy, here I go. It happens again. I will never sit down and eat an entire chocolate cake in one sitting. Never again. And then there it is. Everyone is sleeping. There's a cake on the counter. You eat the cake. Hallelujah. No. But when Christ speaks to us and He says, I am the true bread. Remember He said that earlier. I am the true bread. That there are other breads like chocolate cake that you can eat, but then eventually you'll have a tummy ache. Obviously I have a 6-year-old. I just used the term tummy ache. All right. You won't feel good. The sugar will crash and it will run out. You will hunger again. You will thirst again. But Christ is saying, I am the true bread in the sense that if you eat of me and drink of me, you will never hunger and you will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. He's talking about the individual here. All right? The individual, the one. Each one of us as individuals have met Christ and we have received this eternal bread, and it has given us a true satisfaction in our life that we have it. And we have this also from Him that whoever comes to Him, that He will by no means cast out. As individuals, we are secure in Christ. Hallelujah. And I'm thinking about our personal salvation. It is given to us as individuals, and we are now relating to God on our own. And we have freedom, and we have liberty in our relationship to God. He speaks to us personally. He leads us through our lives as individuals. But then let's continue. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who has sent me, that of all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. So he goes from speaking about the individual, and then he goes to speaking about the whole, all whom my Father have given me. He says, you as individuals, the ones, the Father has given you to me, and I will by no means cast you out, and I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. But then also there is a collective. We are together as believers, that we have been, Christ has come and He has redeemed us, not so that we are isolated. And trust me, I'm not preaching about this time of quarantine where we are isolated, but there is application. But I'm saying in the sense that I am not a maverick. I am not an independent. that I am not just on my own in this walk of faith and in this experience of this life, but I have been placed into something, and I am part of somebody, and all of us together make up this body of Christ. All of us together make up the church, and Christ so values the church and so loves the church because it's something that has been given to him by the Father. So let's look at this idea. Right? In heaven, Christ said it here, that I have come down from heaven. Right? He says in verse 38, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Christ was sent here by the Father. Where did he come from? He came from heaven. Now in heaven, there is not a place of loneliness. It's not a place of isolation. It's not a place of individualism. But heaven is a place of fellowship. If you look at the Godhead itself, the Holy Trinity, the three are one. And that there is fellowship within the Trinity. Where does love come from? Well, God is love. How could love be where there is no fellowship? How could love be in a place where it is not accepted and it is not given and it goes back and forth? In the Trinity, there is love, there is fellowship. And they are trusting each other, they are there with each other. And then God sends Christ down here to save us so that each one of us would see the revelation of who Christ is. Remember, in the book of John, there is always revelation, there is rejection, and there is reception. And that we are, as individuals, we are given the ability to either receive Christ or reject Him. But He is revealed. And He is revealed to us not so that we would be individuals, but that we would become part of something. And we would be here on this earth as the representatives of Christ. Now, like I was saying earlier, there are ones who have gone on before us. These are the church. That we have friends, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, that have passed. And the memory of them is amazing. And then also the thought of their reality is like overwhelming. And I was thinking of names last night, and I have quite a few written here. And it's sweet to think that they are in the presence of God. They're not alone. They're not isolated. They're not lonely. But they're in fellowship with each other and also a face-to-face with Christ, walking with God, seeing Him, experiencing His place, His reality. There's Billy and Peter and John and Jeffrey. You just go on. Gus and John and Gary, Rafel, Alden, Mary, Bill, Ernest, Thomas, Ellen, Joey, Josiah, Elpo, Carl, Kathy, Cheryl. Each one of these names is an amazing brother or sister. And they are now in heaven. And they are now experiencing their salvation in a way that we don't right now. And we look forward to that. Our hope is heaven. Our hope is reunion with these people. Our hope is that this life, as difficult as it might be, is just a quick little spot in the scale of eternity. But then, everlasting life. And then that everlasting life is the real life that we are living towards. We are prepared for it. We are thinking about it. We are occupied with the thought of it, and we are telling other people about it, encouraging other people in salvation. Because the opposite is true also, that there is a hell. And there is isolation. There is no fellowship. There is no party. There is no joy. There is no lights. And it's isolation and nothing to be able to do about it. So we have a mission. We have a purpose here that we can go out and we can encourage people in a great truth. that Christ is the bread of life. He is the true bread. And that everything that we try to consume, everything that we try to fill the gap with will lead to emptiness. But the consumption of Christ, the belief in Christ, leads to fullness, leads me out of isolation and into something great. So if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, so those people are up there. Those people and many more are there. And they are in the reality of it. They're hanging out with Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Luther and Bishop Sheen, Fulton Sheen, right? Louis Sperry Schaeffer, right? Like all these amazing saints who have gone before us, the Apostle Paul, right? John, the Apostle John, the disciples, and that they are together there. But as we are together here now, we don't have something that is less. We have something that is not as full, but also we do have something that God has given to us and that God has placed us in that is just like that. So here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That we have been baptized into one body. What does that mean? We have been immersed into something. That we have been included into something. We have been placed into something. Not as individuals, but then individuals put into something. And Paul calls it the body. The something that is singular, but it is made up of many different parts. The body is a whole. But it's made up of many individuals, and here we are as individuals who have put our faith in Christ, and now we have been knit together in something. We have been placed in something, and we make up one thing. That's the body of Christ. This is what the church is. The church is the body of Christ here and now on earth. There is a fulfillment of it, and there is a fullness of it that people are there, but we are here now. Is that just like I did say earlier that we're a little jealous? But in the sense that we know that we will be there. But also, we don't want to live this life not experiencing the thing that God has placed us in right now. But what I want to say is that like we so value heaven. We so value the hope that we have. We so value the reunion that will come. We so value the things that God is doing. But let's not put this church and value it less. Let's not look at the church and say, well, I guess I'll hang out here until I'm there. But we value it the same way. That just like that is a home that Christ has prepared for me in heaven, He has prepared a place for me here on earth, and it is the church. And He has given me a place to have fellowship with individuals. He has given me a place to bring my prayer requests, to bring my hurt, to bring my pain, to bring my joy, to bring my celebration, to raise my family, to find a family, whatever it might be. He has given us this place. And I'm speaking specifically of this building where we will congregate again in some time. And that He has put us together, not by accident, not by mistake. And if I look out at the church and I think about people, I go through names and I pray. And I'm so thankful that we are together, not by mistake, not by accident, not by chance, but by the purpose of God. And that He wants us to be preparing for eternity and that He has given us this place to prepare for it. And my request is that you would value this just as much as you value your hope in heaven, you would value the church here on earth. That you would treat it just like you treat your expectation of heaven. And that each individual here, we have a funny idea that when we get to heaven, it's going to be amazing. We'll all be sitting around the table and everything will be perfect. Right? And it will be. I'm not saying it won't. But why would we look at this any different than we look at that? That now we do have it. We do have the opportunity to be sitting together and to be celebrating victories and to be so encouraged by answered prayers, to be moved in mission, to be motivated by the grace of God. We have it here and now, so let's take it and let's not be familiar with it. Let's not take it for granted, but let's enjoy it. Let's be let's get familiar with the presence of God in a different sense that I just said, don't be familiar, but be used to being in the presence of God. Become acquainted with worship, become acquainted with fellowship, and allow God to lead you into the body and allow Him to lead you deeper into a life in the church. And it's not something that we force, it's not something that we have to make happen, but it's something where we let go of ourselves in a sense. We recognize the cross, we let go of our things, we let go of our insecurities, we let go of the idea that my people aren't there. Because Paul just said, Paul said it here in 1 Corinthians, that it doesn't matter if you're bond or slave, or bond, that's the same thing, bond or free, right? Gentile or Jew, French, Chinese, Korean, Canadian, Portuguese, whatever we are, it doesn't matter. It's not an issue of my people, but it's an issue of being in Christ. And if we are in Christ, then we are the same people, even the Jamaicans. We are in Christ. What an amazing reality. What an amazing thing to glory in. That all the ones who were saved, Christ is speaking here in John chapter 6, and He's saying, all the ones that the Father has given to me, and don't stress about whether or not you have been given by the Father. There is this term, the elect of God. Don't stress about that. Your election does not determine your salvation. Your salvation concludes your election. Does that make sense? I know that I'm elect because I believe. I don't say, oh man, am I elect? Am I given to Christ? Am I one of them? And I worry about it and then I'll validate my salvation. No. If you believe, then you are elect. And you are the one that Christ is talking about here. And He says that no one can take you out of my hand. You cannot be lost. And I will raise you up in the last day. We are the church. We are the ones who are saved. We are not by ourselves, but we are together here in this time. In Genesis chapter 25, in verse 8, Abraham dies. And it says an amazing term. And this term is used throughout the book of Genesis for all the patriarchs. And it says Abraham breathed his last. He gave up the spirit. And it says this, that he was gathered unto his people. He was gathered unto his people. That's an interesting term, isn't it? We like to gather with our people here on earth. We're gathered in a parking lot right now. We love it. It's the joy of our lives. And somebody said to me a couple weeks into this whole thing, and they said, man, I didn't realize how much I was at the church until I can't be at the church anymore. And it's true. We so much enjoy it. But Abraham is dying and he is gathered to his people. Now you got to think about Abraham. Where is he from? He's from the Ur of the Chaldeans. The place where he dies is nowhere near the place where his family is. So in my mind, it's pretty conclusive that this is talking about beyond life into eternal life. Abraham is gathered unto his people, the righteous people, the ones who are believing. It says it about Jacob. It says it about Isaac. Gathered unto his people. We will one day be gathered unto our people. Won't that be amazing? How many people have thought about that? How many people have quieted your heart with that thought that I will be again gathered with my people? Right? I'll be reunited with somebody. Oh, Lord, what a day that'll be. and this will be our time forever. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5 and look at what we will be doing in eternity. This chapter is unbelievable. Revelation chapter 5, there's a question. There's a scroll that is there, and it is sealed with 7 seals, and there is nobody who can open it. And there's a question proposed in heaven, and it says, is there anyone worthy? Is there anyone worthy? This is a song we should sing, right? Is he worthy? You know that song? Sing more. Go ahead. Sing more. We dare you. Is there anyone worthy to open the scroll? Is there anyone who can move this thing forward? Is there anybody? Verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the 4 living creatures, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain. He looked, and there was a lamb there, a lamb, simple, gentle, docile, but it looks as though it had just been slain. How long ago was this? How long ago did Christ die? How long has he been in heaven? Thousands of years. But his appearance is as one who has just been slain. What a humbling thought that the impact of the crucifixion, the impact of the cross on Christ is still seen in him. The weight of our sin is still impacting him. But he has overcome it all. And when there is a question, who is worthy? Is there anyone worthy? He sees a lamb. And the lamb steps forward. The lamb took the scroll. The lamb has the authority. The lamb has the power. And there is no doubt. There is no question. There is no insecurity. But he takes it. And then there's a new song. Verse 9, and they sang a new song. You are worthy. You are worthy. Who is worthy? Who? In all the earth, in all the world, who is worthy? In all of heaven above, in all of the creation that we can't even understand or see, who is worthy? The Lamb. The Lamb who is slain. The Lamb who is humbled by our sin. He is worthy. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. You have redeemed us to God. By your blood. You have redeemed us to God. You have redeemed us. There's no individual here, but there is the body of Christ here. It's not about where you were from or what you are, or what your experience is. It's not about your sin. It's not about your victory. It's not about your ability to pull yourself up. It's not about your willpower, but it's about the Lamb. He is worthy. He has done it. And then he comes with authority and he takes the scroll. And in response to that, we sing this song. You are worthy. Have we recognized the worthiness of Christ in our life? Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. He has done it. Of every tribe, of every tongue, of every people, and of every nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. There it is. There's the church. That's what we will be doing. Of every tribe and every nation and every tongue, it doesn't matter. But we will all be there at the throne of God, and we will see the Lamb. And he will come with authority, and he will come with power, but we will also see the gentleness of the Lamb. We will see a great reminder of what he has done for us, but that now has no effect on him in the sense that it cannot keep him from accomplishing what God has given him. And we'll sing. Oh my gosh, we'll sing. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and which are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. This is our salvation. This will be our eternity. This is what we will be fellowshipping in together. It will be. But until then, here is what we have. Until then, here we are, and we can look at it, we can say it's so nothing compared to that. But actually, it is exactly like that, because we have the presence of God. We have an understanding of our salvation. We have an understanding of the power of the cross. We have the understanding of the authority of Christ in the sense that He has taken it all and He has done it. And then we have each other gathered together from every tribe and every tongue and every nation, every color, every size. And we get together in His name. If we anticipate this song, if we anticipate this reality, let's value this reality. Let's value this church and understand that it is something that Christ came down and He says, it is given to me by the Father, and I will by no means cast anyone out. And in the last day I will raise you up, and you will see this scene unfold in front of you, and I, the Lamb, will be walking out in the presence of all of existence, and I will say, and I will open the scroll, and you will say, He is worthy. He is worthy. Oh my goodness, He is worthy. So now, here we are, okay? Here we are. In John chapter 6 and verse 40, it says, this is the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of Him who sent me. And there's something that the gospel writers don't know. There is something that the Old Testament authors don't know. There is something that God has prepared for us that is unknown even in the Gospels, and it is this, it is the church. But Christ here is preparing for the church, and He is laying a foundation of what the church is, and He's talking to His guys, He's talking to the disciples, and He's saying, listen, the ones that God has given me, you will be together, and in your togetherness, you will be preparing for eternity together. So take care. Value it. Enjoy it. Appreciate it. Live in the reality of it. Be motivated in the mission that it produces. I just wrote a list here. Be accustomed with the presence of God. I think in our worship and in our times with God, have you ever been overwhelmed by the presence of God? That it moved you to great joy, or it moved you to great humility and sorrow and tears? And you can't, this happened to me last night, and it's like still happening. I don't know. Come on. No. It's good. It's the moving of God. Right? That He moves us to tears, and we say, I don't know, this isn't joy, but it's something. It's not sorrow, but there's something, and it's God. And it's His presence in your life, and it's the reality that He has prepared, and the ones that are gone before. It's beautiful. Enjoy it. Expect it. And when you have it, oh my gosh, lock onto it. Because it is like a little taste of the fullness of that. If in my time here on earth I can be moved in my emotions by the Spirit of God, imagine how it will be in heaven. This is like a little taste of it. He gives us like a tic tac. He says, that's all you can handle right now. If I gave you the whole thing, your heart would explode. But you will be eternal, and you can handle it, and you'll soak it all in. But until then, appreciate this, enjoy it, take it, it's yours. Be living in forgiveness as seeing a lamb slain. What does the lamb slain tell me in Revelation 5:6? It tells me that my sins are forgiven. But then if He is alive, it tells me that my sins are gone forever. I want to live in that way with myself, with my wife, with my kids, with my family, with my acquaintances, and then in my church. I want to live in forgiveness, seeing the Lamb who was slain. I want to value time together as we live in the hope of heaven. These are all points I already made, but I'm just kind of wrapping it up. value time together as we live in the hope of heaven. We'll have a wrap when we open up again. And who knows what'll it be. I don't know what chef's going to cook up for us. But we're going to have a great time. And we can look at it in a different way. We've had wraps before. We've had Eric's cooking before. But we're going to look at it different. We're going to value it different, saying that this is not just another Sunday afternoon lunch, but this is a time that is preparing me for that time when this will be an amazing reality. Let Christ and His work be the center of your relationships. In the church, what is the center of my relationship? My like of you or my like of the things that we like? No. Of course, we have common likes, and that's amazing. It's perfect. It's great. We talk about building. We talk about fishing. We talk about hunting. We talk about croquet. I don't know. But that's not the center of it. The center of it is Christ. And I can, as somebody who has a completely different likes and dislikes, we can come together in this common thing, that Christ is the center of our relationship, and we can go on for days talking about Christ. Remember in Song of Solomon, when they ask her, they say, why is your beloved so much different than the other ones? And she goes on and on for verses about why her beloved is different. That's what we have. We have Christ. And we can go on and on and on about why He is different and why He is special. He's the Lamb, and He is worthy. We have fellowship. You and I, as individuals, are created in the image and likeness of God. Isn't that amazing? But you know what else is true? Every other person is created in the image and likeness of God. It's not just me, it's all of us. And if He has created us all in His image and likeness, then He has a heart that all of us would be together and that we would be sharing that reality with each other. That's fellowship. That's fellowship. Fellowship isn't I like spaghetti and meatballs, and so do you. Fellowship is I'm created in the image and likeness of God, and so are you. Let's talk about that. Let's appreciate that. Let's value that. We're made for fellowship. We're made for care. We're made for encouragement. We're made for support. And in this fellowship, we get great perspective on our lives and on our problems. But then also in this fellowship, something is generated, and that is missions. Missions is generated in fellowship. And when I get together, and like we had a time with the young guys on a Friday night, and we were just talking about, I don't know, what was it? We were talking about heaven. We were talking about salvation. And the result of it, the conclusion was, man, I can't wait. We're going to do it. We're going to go out soul winning together. That's it. That is it. That's the conclusion of our fellowship in Christ, is that we are moved in compassion to a lost and dying world. And we are saying, hey, have you seen the Lamb? Have you seen the Lamb? He is worthy. He is worthy. Find Him. Worship Him. That's all. That's the message this morning. Right. What an amazing life that we have. What an amazing truth this is. And let's see Him. Like Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And now we see Him in the body of Christ. We understand what the church is. That it is His design. It's His creation. And it's the thing that He has given us right now in time. It's preparing us for eternity. When we get to heaven, we're going to say, oh, I felt this before. I felt this before on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or a Tuesday afternoon in my car. I felt this, the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to know where we are when we get to heaven. Someone's going to say, would you like a tour? We said, no, I have a feeling I know where I am. Because this is what I was made for, and this is what Christ has been preparing me for. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank You. Thank You for hope. Thank You for joy. Lord, if there's anybody listening this morning, you've never received Christ as your Savior, you've never been born again, you've never taken this true bread, just say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. I believe You are worthy. And You have taken my sins and You have removed them from me. I believe in you. I believe. Give me everlasting life. And if you've said that prayer, please let us know in some way or somehow. And for the rest of us, Lord, help us to value this church. Help us to understand what it is here in time. Thank you for the great victories that we've seen. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for coming together in your name, Lord. What happens when that happens? Lord, thank you. You know what I'm trying to say. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.